Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us here this morning again. Thank you, Brother John, for that lesson to us and about a brother is born out of adversity and the call for love between brethren and families. Thank you for that. Thank you for them songs. That was a blessing to my heart here this morning. Thank you, Brother John Loniker, for sharing on the road to Emmaus. How that our hearts, may our hearts burn as the disciples did that day, that morning. That morning when Jesus was revealed to them. So I just want to greet each one of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. This is a little unique, standing before, for the most part, an empty room. And many times we see smiles and we see many things that inspire us. But we're trusting the Lord this morning. My prayer this morning is that we would bring glory to the Lord Jesus, that we would hallow His name and magnify His name. The Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Bring an adoration to the name of Jesus this morning, that as we gather here on this special spring morning, that we would have a heart to worship God, that we would know that the tomb was found empty, and that we would have a heart to worship this morning. You know, longing for that fullness that we will only experience when we reach that heavenly shore. But am I longing? Are you longing for that fullness this morning? Longing to worship Jesus in His presence, not just on this side of the grave, but in His presence. I had to think this morning, you know, there's a diverse crowd, I'm sure, this morning. Some of you are in your living room. Some of you are maybe in your prayer closet, maybe in a hospital bed, or wherever you find yourself this morning. I just pray that God's Word would be special. I'm rejoicing that God's Word is a blessing to us. It is it's a roadmap to heaven, and so may we look to Him this morning. So at this time, I will bow my head and join me for a word of prayer. Lord, as we have met here this morning to worship, Lord, I just pray that You would be with each one, Lord, as they spend time at home. As just a few of us are here, I pray also for Brother Daniel, Lord, as he has poured many hours these past 4 weeks into the sound system and being able to put these messages on phone line so that those that are out there can hear. And we want to pray that You would bless him abundantly for that labor of love and that hidden service there, Lord, that we benefit from but don't always recognize it. So I just pray for him and his family this morning. We pray for many others, Lord. We think of those who have cancer this morning, who are bedridden, and they are trusting You for healing this morning. They're trusting You for peace in their hearts. And there's many others, Lord, who are homebound and have things that they are facing, Lord. I pray that You would bless each and every one, that they could be ministered to today through Your Word, Lord. We know that it is You. It is Your Spirit that brings peace and ministers. So we're praying this morning that in this service that Jesus would be exalted during this resurrection Sunday. I think I'm still on. Is that right? Thought maybe I lost service there. Yeah, seems like it's still on. So just bear with us as we struggle through some of these technical things. We know the Word of God is not bound, but turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 11. And I wanted to speak a little bit about what Jesus told Mary and Martha. If you want to start in, I'll start reading in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. We can see this morning that there was two very different responses from Mary and Martha. When they heard Jesus was coming, one went out to meet him and the other just sat in the house. And I know they were probably disappointed because they thought in their mind that Jesus hadn't come as soon as they thought he should. And I think it's that way in our own lives at times. You know, we think that we pray for things, we pray for whatever it might be in our lives, and we find that Jesus doesn't answer the prayer as soon as we think he should. But I just want to bless Martha for her courage. She went out to meet him when she heard he was coming. And may we do the same in our time of adversity. Then said Martha unto Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was sharing her distress. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus proclaimed these words. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You notice that word, I am. That's another name for God. Several times, Jesus said, I am. God said it in the Old Testament, I am. It's another name for God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I would like for us to notice that back in verse 4, for the sake of time, I won't go and read the entire passage here. But, you know, in light of sickness, you know, this whole world is given to fear at this time, it seems like, about this coronavirus and sickness. And Jesus said these words to her in verse 4. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, and it did pain his heart. It does say he wept there, I think a little further on. But anyway, I was just going to encourage us with that verse. That, you know, sometimes the things we face, the sickness we face, whatever it might be, sometimes it's for the glory of God, and sometimes it's because we are reaping for the things that we have done, or we're reaping for the sin that we have sown. So sometimes, you know, we just need to seek the Lord. He will show us plainly what he has for us. And then also in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. So he said these strong words to them, and I'm sure that was a blow to them right at first. But then he went on to say, he said, to the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go in unto him. So he allowed this. When they asked him to come, he waited a few days, and it was for the glory of God. God has perfect timing in all of our lives. There's timing that you and I are not aware of, that God withholds things from us at times, and it's for his timing, and it seems sometimes difficult. But let's trust him this morning. Let's trust him in the face of challenge and adversity, whatever it might be. So I just thank the Lord this morning that the tomb was found empty, and that we have this opportunity this morning to gather together in a small way. Yes, it's over the phone line, but we still have this time with our families that we should not take for granted. As I think of this beautiful spring morning, this is a special day to me. This is a special day to me for at least threefold reasons, or maybe more, many more, I should say. First off, that Jesus lives, and I'm born again by His Spirit. He's given me a new life. He's given me hope in this world, in this present evil world. But this is a special day for me. My father was born on April the 12th of 1943, and he died on July 23rd of 1977 at 34 years old. And then my mother remarried, and my stepfather, many years later, she married him in 1979, and on April the 12th of last year, he died in the evening about 8 o'clock. I remember last year on April the 12th, I got a phone call from the hospital at about 6 a.m. And they said, you know, things are not looking good. And it doesn't look very good. And but then I just had this, it seemed like an intuition, or the Spirit was seemed to speak to me and say, you know, this is likely the end. And it indeed was. It was the end for him. But he will live again, as we see here with Lazarus. You know, in the resurrection, he will live again. And then the third reason is my son, Melvin, by faith, has a birthday today. And so this is a very special day to us for many reasons to me. And so I thank the Lord for that. You know, I had to think this is a Good Friday weekend. This is a blessing for all of us. But let us also consider this could be our last Good Friday weekend or Easter Resurrection Day weekend where we have time to meet with family and church family and to worship God in the Spirit and in truth. So help us to each day to serve God as if it were our last. You know, that terminal illness that you're asking God to heal. My prayer for you is that you would trust God and take each day as a gift from God. Don't look at tomorrow, but look at today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to minister to you and give you grace for every trial that you might face. I had was thinking of, you know, in light of exalting Jesus Christ. In John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. And He will glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." So when the Spirit loves to exalt Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost wants Jesus to be exalted. And that is such a precious thing this morning that we can look to Him. You know, I know that many people, they say there's more people go to church on Easter than any other day of the year. And I know many times it's emotionalism and it's not nothing that lasts. It's not a fruitful life that is worshiping God, but just, you know, maybe constrained to go to services or whatever. And I think some emotion can be okay, but we're not guided by our emotions. This morning I had to think of in John chapter 20, where it says that the one apostle did outrun the other. You know, basically, John outran Peter to the tomb to find the tomb empty. And I know that the emotions were likely high in the disciples as they had considered their Lord who had been killed a few days before, 3 days before. And they heard that the tomb was found empty. And they ran. And it just says John outran Peter. So you can imagine when your emotions are high, you can really run. He was running for, he wanted to see Jesus. And my prayer is this morning that we would run in that way in our spiritual lives to see Jesus. Not just today, but the rest of our lives. And also in Hebrews 12, verse 24, this is another version, but it's basically speaking of Jesus. It says, you have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and man, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. That speaks of forgiveness. That is what resurrection, that power of the resurrection, it speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of a new life. It speaks of victory over sin. So the title for the message this morning I would like to give it is Resurrection Power Equals a Holy Life. Resurrection power equals a holy life. If you have that power, you will live a holy life. It won't just be emotional. So what is the power of the resurrection? I'd like to look at that a little bit here this morning. I'd like to look at what that power is this morning as we consider our lives. It's power to let go of your past sins. And most of the people in the world are stuck in the past. They live in the past. They rehearse the past rather than looking forward unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's the power to be an overcomer, overcoming those obstacles that cause us to trip up. It's being an overcomer, overcoming sin and being victorious. If you don't have the new birth this morning, it's likely you feel guilty this morning. You have the pressure of guilt on your heart. You have grudges that you don't know what to do with. You have sinful habits that you can't quit doing. And you have hurts that are paining your heart and causing you to take medication or drink things that would try to numb the pain, but it will never do that. Only the resurrection power of Jesus will heal that pain. We have hang-ups, things we're stuck on. We can't move on with the present because we're stuck in the past. So Lord, help us. If you're one of those this morning who is stuck in the past or can't move forward and be an overcomer, look to Jesus and give Him your life. Give Him the reins to your heart this morning. Give Him the lines to your heart. It is also the power to forgive. It's interesting as you study the Holocaust survivors, it's very evident that the ones who were able to forgive, they may have forgiven for selfish reasons. I've actually heard testimonies of some. They forgive for selfish reasons because they know it releases them. But I'm talking about forgiveness because of Christ, because of the resurrection, because of the cross. That power to forgive, that is the resurrection power of Jesus. And Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So we know it is foundational. It is very important that we walk in total forgiveness toward all men. The power of the resurrection is the power to repent and start over. It's to turn over a new leaf and quit doing the old things. It's overcoming your addictions and having victory over them. We can't overcome our addictions in our own willpower, but it's that Holy Ghost power that comes and gives us victory over sin. It's a changed life. Do you have a changed life this morning? If you need, if you are looking for a changed life, if you're wanting to change your life, call out to the Lord Jesus this morning on your knees. Go to your prayer closet and ask Him to help you. A new beginning. It's being born again. Just born of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it will. But so is those who are born of His Spirit. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want us to perish this morning, but He wants us to have that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection is the power to start over and keep going. So many times people start over, but they don't keep going. It's not a 100-meter dash, but it's a cross-country marathon. It gives you power to keep going when you run out of your own power. That Holy Ghost within. You tap into the Spirit of the living God by crying out and asking Him to help us. Help me, Lord. Give me that power that I need. It gives us strength to make it to the finish line and to finish well. Oh, that we would finish well. That's been my prayer, that I would finish well. It seems like even over these last months, four Sundays at least now, that we've not been able to meet as a church. You know, I think this is doing a work in my heart. I think this is doing a work in all of our hearts. It is helping us. It is helping us to sort through the difficult things in life and to appreciate the simple things in life. To appreciate the small things, those little things that we often took for granted. Power, that Holy Ghost, resurrection power is doing the right thing when your flesh wants to do the wrong thing. It's a spirit within that has an overwhelming power to put down the flesh, put it aside, and to crucify it, to mortify it. And to lay it aside. The flesh will lie to you. Romans chapter 8 tells us that your flesh and blood, what you're clad with, it will lie to you. It will convince you that you should be pleasing it. When God says, live after the Spirit and you'll live. Follow my Spirit and you will live. Matthew chapter 5. Resurrection power. Verse 38. If you have that resurrection power this morning, this will be real in your life. I'll read a few verses starting in Matthew 5:38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, verse 44 is the greatest statement I believe Jesus ever made. It is one of the greatest calls to the Christian experience. Love your enemies and bless them that curse you. We can only do that if we have that resurrection power in our lives. It can't be done in the flesh. Doing the right thing, it takes the resurrection power this morning. Living a holy life. So I would like to turn over to Acts chapter 10 at this time. I would like to look at a passage here that Peter preached. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 44. This is just 10 verses that Peter preached. And I would like for us to notice something here. That Peter, he was preaching to the Gentiles, and he did something here that I would like for us to notice, and that is he exalted Jesus Christ. He lifted up the resurrection. He lifted up Jesus Christ. And I would like for us to notice, before we begin the passage, that on verse 44, it says, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." So when we exalt Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, when we lift up a holy life, when we lift up that resurrection power, and we lift up a blameless life, Jesus Christ is exalted because he gives us the power to do that. And if we want the Holy Ghost cannot be constrained. It can't be manhandled. You can't take a recipe and make the Holy Spirit do exactly what you or I would like for it to do. But it is compelled by God Himself, the Lord Jesus. And so this morning we can make conditions that are suitable for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. You know, we need to meet requirements, conditions that allow the Spirit to fall and allow it to work and allow it to manifest itself to us. But we cannot maneuver it. We can't make it do what only God can do. But I would like for us to notice in this passage before I begin that Peter was exalting Jesus Christ when the Holy Ghost fell. And that's the passage I read in John 16, where it says, when Jesus is lifted up, that pleases God. And so let's start reading in verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." He was exalting Christ. "But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him." So we can see this morning that there needs to be righteousness. We need to live a righteous and a holy life. He lifts up Jesus as the peacemaker. Verse 36, "The word of God, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." He is Lord of all. Peter was proclaiming that he is Lord of all. And that exalted Christ. He's God's peacemaker and he is Lord of all. He needs to be Lord of all in your life. He can't be just Lord over most things, or 99% of the things in your life, but he needs to be Lord of all in your life. Verse 37, "The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." You know that he said Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't say he was making a point here. This was Jesus from the little country of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You know, he didn't send Gabriel or Michael. He sent Jesus of Nazareth. You know, today we would send a king. You know, we would call, you know, a king. You'd say he's, you know, so-and-so from Graybill or whatever. But this was Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with Jesus, and he was giving him power and anointing. Peter lifts up Jesus, and Jesus is stronger than sin, and he's stronger than the devil, because he freed those who were oppressed. He freed those who were slaves to sin. And he was crucified for doing good. Pilate said, I find no wrong. I can find nothing wrong with this man. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Whom they slew and hanged on a tree, the cross. He said, we were witnesses of everything that happened there, Peter's saying. And he was testifying of God. He was testifying of Jesus Christ. Him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He preached a resurrection to them. He showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. You know, the 12 apostles, or a few of them there, I didn't look at that passage, but I think they met on a seaside there, and there was some fish, and they had a little meal together after he arose. At verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He was a judge to those who are alive and those who are dead, which basically means those who are alive this morning and those who have passed on. You know, I think of that this morning in light of... You know, we have a cemetery out back here behind the church. And if we go out there and stand there, that is going to be one day resurrection ground. One day the eastern sky is going to open and God is coming back. Jesus with all of his holy angels. It's resurrection ground. I had to think of that with my father. David was born or was buried in a cemetery on Antwerp Road over here. He was the first one in the corner of the cemetery. And he was all alone until, you know, I think a few months later, Mandy of Menno passed on. But we know that, you know, they are not in the grave. The soul is with God. The soul is with Jesus. And according to your faith, be it unto you, Jesus said. And to judge the quick and the dead, verse 42, God is the final judge over the living and the dead. Peter, he's lifting up Jesus here as that final judge. And, you know, what I do matters. How I live matters. I'm going to give an account for the deeds done in my body. Sin will take me to a place of torment. It will take you to the place of torment if you continue in sin. Jesus is a righteous judge. You know, we often hear the plea, you know, you don't know my heart. Well, I can assure and I'm comforted this morning that Jesus knows my heart and he knows your heart. And I believe this morning that God wants to strip us of anything that we try to hide behind. You know, many times we hear, even coming from our own lips, of excuses, of things that we may have experienced that were painful. We try to hide behind those things, but it won't happen. It won't work. You know, we can't hide behind our money or fashionable hairdos or cool clothing or any other thing. But God wants to have, He's going to strip us of anything, our pride, our, you know, self-righteousness, whatever it is. He's going to strip us of that. And we will be face to face with a holy God. You know, at that point, there's only going to be two possibilities. We're either going to be condemned and guilty, and He'll say, depart from me. Or He'll say, pardoned, forgiven. Enter into the joy of the Lord, made for the children of God. So Jesus wants to be Lord of our lives. He wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be Lord over our courtship. He wants to be Lord over our marriage, our work, our church. He wants to be Lord over all, everything. There's nothing that you can let out. Whatever your even your sickness, your terminal illness, God wants to be Lord over that. And so Jesus was exalted there. And then it says in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard it, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we have, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So God lifted up, Peter lifted up Jesus Christ at that little session there that he had with the Gentiles, and he preached Jesus, and the Spirit came and ministered, and those that would be saved were saved. And it's because he preached and exalted Jesus and said he needs to be Lord of all of your life. Lord of all. And Philippians chapter 2, there's some verses there that I would like to look at this time. Philippians chapter 2, speaking of Christ's humiliation and his exaltation. You know, you can't, most of the time, you know, we kind of thrive on being exalted, but when it comes to being humiliated, we kind of shrink back. We don't want to be humiliated. We want to just be exalted. That's the natural tendency of humanity. But Christ, he was first humiliated when he was on earth here. Then he was exalted into the heavenlies and is seated at the right hand of the Father here this morning. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's what Brother John was preaching about this morning and sharing with us in the children's lesson. There was a, it is teaching us how to relate one to another as brethren. Look not every man on your own things, but also on the things of others. And then I pondered this song that the choir's been singing here. It's been etched in my memory, let this mind be in you. And when we say those words now, there's a song that bursts forth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It'd be such a blessing to have all the choir up here this morning singing with the heavenly host. But it's not meant to be that way this morning. But we can still rejoice that we know that we can have the mind of Christ this morning. And that mind of Christ is what I just read. It's exalting Jesus. It's let nothing be done in a wrong way. Let nothing be done in a vain way. Let nothing be done with pride, but in lowliness of mind. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I was just pondering that and looked at a passage in the Amplified on that, and it says that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It says he did not think equally with God was a thing to be eagerly, or equality, I'm sorry. He did not think equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. So he had the right. He was in the form of God. He had a right to be equal with God, but yet he drew back. He drew back from that and came to earth to save humanity, to give his life a sacrifice, his body a sacrifice for us here this morning. Even though he, you know, it says he made himself of no reputation. He gave up his divine privileges. He was seated at the right hand of God. And yet he gave up his divine privileges for you and I this morning. So wherever you find yourself this morning, wherever you find yourself, just turn to Jesus Christ and consider him who through such contradiction came to save sinners. And being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So this morning, this is exaltation of Jesus Christ. And that's what God is, he loves that. That is his will for us, that we bring glory to Jesus Christ. That we glorify him in all that we do. I would like to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a beautiful account here of the resurrection of Christ and what it means to us here this morning and what it means to us as we walk through this Christian life. I'll start reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand. You know, standing fast in that gospel, that is the challenge, is to stand, to remain standing, to endure until the end. But which also ye are saved, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Keep in memory, it means hold fast the word. Jesus said to watch and pray. To hold fast the word, to keep it in our forefront of our mind. Because the enemy, he wants to lie to you. He wants to distract you. He wants to take you off course. We need to keep in memory, keep in mind, hold fast the word. And watch and pray, Jesus said. You know, we need to be a watchman. In Ezekiel 33, it says, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he has taken away in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So we need to be a watchman. We need to be prepared and ready this morning for going through these end times, I believe, this morning. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's saying here, according to the Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament prophecies. They prophesied of his coming. They prophesied the Messiah is coming. And he's going to save his people from their sin. He's going to bring forgiveness. He's going to bring power to live above sin, to live in victory. According to the scriptures, and he was buried and he arose again on the third day according to the scriptures. This was also prophesied, and he was seen of Cephas, which was Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was, sharing his burden and his regret for persecuting the church of Jesus Christ in his unconverted state. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It was not worthless. So the grace of God that you're hearing this morning from your Bible and from the Word of God, it will only be in vain if you don't apply it. It will only be in vain if you don't utilize it and apply it to your life. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That was a concern. That was a fear that was in Paul was addressing, that they didn't believe or know that there was a resurrection of those that go into the grave, that they would one day be caught up together, those who died in Christ. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, and he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You know, this is the assurance of the believer. Christ was the first one into the grave. He went into the grave, but up he arose. He arose from the grave and gives us victory here this morning, that we can walk in the newness of life in the power of the resurrection. For since by man came death, that by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ are at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and that last enemy shall be destroyed, is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but he saith all things are put under him. It is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when we put all things, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And he goes on to say there, you know, just going on, I'm going to move on for the sake of time here. I would like to move over to, I think it's verse 50. It says here, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So basically he's saying here that these fleshly clad bodies, flesh and blood cannot inherit heavenly realms. It cannot go to heaven. Only the soul of man will get a new body, and then we'll be able to go to heaven. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed, it says. I had to think of a twinkling of an eye. Consider that with me a moment. You know, as you look at your eye, maybe if you look in a mirror, you can watch the blink of an eye. That is, I would say, very close to the twinkling of an eye. It is just in, it's in a moment. It's in a very short time. It says the dead will be raised incorruptible. That you'll have a new body when the Lord calls out from heaven and Jesus Christ comes through the clouds in the east. We'll have a new body in a moment. And all these painful things we experienced, all the pain that we can feel today will be gone. We'll be forevermore with the Lord. Now the opposite is also true. And that is, if you have never made preparations to be in heaven with Jesus, if you've never been born again, if you haven't repented of your sins, of your past life, you will not see God. You will meet an eternal judgment, the hell fire. And so these are sobering words. But it is good news for the Christian. It is good news for the child of God this morning. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So there won't always be death as there is today. You know, in the Garden of Eden, you know, death came. When sin came, death came. But it won't always be that way. The sting of death, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, the work that we do for the Lord, it's not in vain. God will use it. God is, that is His plan. You know, the Scripture says that God cannot lie. If He tells us He's going to do something, these promises that He give us, they will unfold and they will be true and we will see Him. I have a few promises here in closing that I would like to share, some verses that I thought of here yesterday that just were a blessing to me, and I'd like to reflect on them as we draw this to a close and as we make our decision. Maybe you're not born again this morning and you would like to be, my heart would be is that you would make the decision to follow Jesus and take it seriously. Find someone to pray with. Find someone to lead you to the Lord and help you pray through. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him. And when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So that's the benefit of the child of God. We won't be ashamed of Him at His coming because we have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. We won't feel guilty. Revelation 3, 10 and 12, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That temptation that's coming, that is here and is yet coming, on all the earth, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I believe we're being tried right now. I believe we are to a degree. Maybe not to the fullest extent, but we are being tried and to see if we will be purified or if we will draw back as those that draw back to perdition. Then it says, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So it's speaking of that we can be led away and miss the reward of heaven. Take away our crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Promises there in Revelation 3. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we worry, or we are given to thoughts that think, you know, I know God has begun a work in my life, but will I be able to make it through? And it says here, this is a promise, that he has begun a good work in you. He will perform it if you allow him to. If we allow, if we continue to surrender to him, he will do it. That he will perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Acts 1, 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know, it says, last week, Brother Mose had a beautiful message. It was a challenging message, but of the judgment of God. And I thought it was very fitting for the day we live. How God, it says that God will judge. You know, if he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he will also judge America. He will also judge any country who goes astray. Because that is, he's a righteous God. He judges righteously. And I think of, you know, we have this promise there and that Jesus said about Lot's wife. He gave us this exhortation. He said, remember Lot's wife, because she looked back. She looked back at those things, what she had, what she wanted, what she couldn't do away with, or do without. She kept looking back. I guess she only looked back once, but Jesus told us to remember her. And I think that fits with the end times here as well. Don't look back, but keep plowing. No man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom, Jesus said. Matthew 24. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Behold, he cometh with clouds. This is Revelation 1:7, my closing verse. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. There will be none that will miss it. Even those who have been cremated. There are those who try to be buried in a bunker or cremated or whatever it is. Those, you will meet God. You will see him when he breaks through those clouds. Because in a moment, you will be present at the judgment. So may God bless you all and continue to pray for this difficult time we as a church are facing with not being able to meet like we normally would, but we know God is in control. God bless.